Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
And welcome, everybody. Great to be with you, and great, it is an honor, frankly, to have you in the audience. 503-589-1220, that's the Power Buick GMC talk line. If you want to send me an email, I will do my very darndest to read it on the air. Because what you think about the things we talk about, the political things we talk about over a cup of coffee, what you think about them matters. Sometimes you guys come up with some brilliant stuff. And I'm going to talk about some of that. We got lots of emails to read today. By the way, a couple of things that are Oregon-based stories that I want to comment on and get your thoughts about them. And then there's a great piece by Walter Williams, economics professor, George Mason University. Great columnist. You've heard him fill in for Rush Limbaugh and others. He's a black conservative. No. Yep, absolutely. And he has written this powerful piece about diversity on American campuses, which is happening not only in Oregon on our college campuses, folks, but it's much deeper than that. He's only addressing colleges. It's deeper than that. It's all in your school systems, K through 12. And we are not teaching the basics, but we are teaching race, diversity. Listen to what he concludes his piece about here. And I'm going to share this with you just to tease you a little bit because I do want to get into this. This is stunning statistics about how many people are employed in the diversity business. But here's his conclusion. Quote, both in and out of academia, the content of a man's character is no longer as important as the color of his skin, his sex, his sexual preferences, or his political loyalties. That's a vision that spells tragedy for our nation. Yeah, I would say so. Okay, a couple of things that are absolutely pertinent here to Oregon. And here's what they are. There's two stories that I want to talk about today. And by the way, both of these you can see at OregonWatchdog.com. Sort of like Oregon's Drudge Report, although they're not anti-Trump, like apparently Drudge is. I mean, you read the headlines on Drudge, folks. Like right now, I'm going to divert for this just for a quick moment. I know that drives some of you crazy. My apologies. Here's the headline on Drudge. Bolton ready. Executive privilege fight. Cracks in Republican unity. No, there aren't. There aren't any cracks in Republican unity. Not hardly. It's the same never Trumpers. I don't know why Drudge does this. But again, Drudge is a never Trumper. So there you go. There's a report. This is out of the Corvallis Gazette Times. There's a high sexual abuse rate at Oregon facilities. Let me just say this again. High sexual abuse rate at Oregon facilities. Really? Now, let's talk a little bit about that because I want to know why, and I want to know what Kate Brown and the ruling regressive totalitarian Marxist are going to, what are they going to do about this? And it's involving girls and young women that have among the highest rates of sexual victimization. Not according to a state report, folks, but a federal report. And you know what? The highest was Albany's Oak Creek, rather, youth correctional facility. 14.3% reported being sexually victimized in the year of 2018 in the care and the custody of the state. That's more than twice the national average. Now, I'll share with you more about this, but the question is, who's doing it and why? And how are they going to stop it? That's the first story I want to talk about. The second one is, Well, it's another one. And this is really illustrative of journalistic malpractice. Here's the headline from the Albany Democrat Herald. Housing affordability worsened in Oregon in the last decade, the last 10 years, with low construction rates. Okay. The state economist, Josh Lerner, noted this. And it was one of the unexpected conclusions that he put up in a blog post on the last day of 2019. The article starts off by saying this: despite Oregon's widespread housing shortage, the amount of housing built in the state during the last decade reached a new low. Josh Lerner wrote, on a population growth adjusted basis. Now, this is, you have to understand, is Oregon is one of the highest states in terms of population growth. It's one of the reasons we're likely going to get another congressional seat in the House of Representatives. Lots of people are moving here. And you know where they're coming from? Mostly California. Why? Because the middle class is fleeing the high cost of living in California. Why does it cost so much to live in California? We've talked about that before because it's mostly related to population issues. Lots of illegals coming into town and a shortage of housing. Why is it so expensive to build a house in California? Government policy, politicians. That's why we talk about these things over a cup of coffee, right? Because the same darn thing is happening here. Population growth adjusted basis. We have lots of people moving into Oregon from California. Why? Because it's still cheaper to live in Oregon than California. Now, if they could just leave their politics at the state line. They won't, of course. You know, you guys remember back in the 70s? The often used phrase, mostly that came from Tom McCall, don't Californicate Oregon. A little play on words there. Don't Californicate Oregon. Yeah, you remember that? Well, it's happening again, folks. And this time, the fornication from California comes in the form of their liberal voting ideas. And they're moving into rural Oregon. Why? Because rural Oregon, as is noted by Josh Lerner, the state economist, in this article, rural Oregon has not benefited from the great economic boom all across the country. The United States of America, this great boom that we're expecting, rural Oregon hasn't experienced it. Why? It's politics, folks. Anyway, he says Oregon built fewer new housing units this decade than we have seen since the World War II. With data going back nearly 60 years, he writes, never have we built fewer units on a sustained basis than we did in the 2010s. Why? That's what I want to know. You see, the story, by the way, and this is a story by Jake Thomas from the Oregon Capital Bureau. That's an amalgamation of several newspapers that work together. Why? Well, that question is never asked. By the reporter, anyway. Lerner wrote that housing affordability has worsened throughout the last decade, making it harder for residents to make ends meet for young, working-age households to move to Oregon. He said the root of the problem is the low levels of housing construction. Okay. That question is not asked by this reporter. Don't you think that that's... I mean, look, I may be just a former state legislator and a fifth-generation Oregon farmer and a bit of a radio talk show host, but even I can figure that out. The root of the problem is not low levels of housing construction. The question to be asked is the root of the problem of why we have low levels of housing construction. The question is not asked. Now, it is commented on very late in the story. And by the way, a side note, one of the notes that they do make in this story is about rent control. Now, that is only going to make it worse, folks. You know that, and I know. It already has made it worse. Because building permits have slowed down in Oregon. For what? For housing units. Now, housing units are not defined just as single-family housing or multiple-family housing or apartments. It's a broad category. But again, the legislature did pass a bill, House Bill 2001, that allows duplex, triplexes, and other denser varieties of housing to be built on land that's currently zoned single-family in most cities. Now, that is not going to solve the problem. And you know why it isn't going to solve the problem? Because it doesn't address the high cost of building a house. Any kind of a house. Anywhere. Now, Tina Kotek, in a statement, has to defend the bad policies of the legislature. And how does she do that? Well, she points out that the legislature just threw more socialist money at the problem. That's the problem, folks. She says that the legislature dedicated $200 million to affordable housing development, $55 million to affordable housing preservation, and $50 million for state homeless assistance programs. Okay. That's all your tax dollars. And it doesn't solve the problem. It only, as in typical regressive totalitarian Marxist fashion, folks, it just throws more socialist redistribution of your money from those that are working, you that are working. It throws more money at a problem and never addresses the root cause of the problem. But guess who did talk about it in this article? A guy by the name of Michael Anderson, who's a senior researcher with the Seattle-based sustainability think tank Sightline Institute, which, by the way, is not a conservative organization, folks. Quite the opposite. It's a very liberal group. He said in an email, at least the reporter did some due diligence here, he said in an email that House Bill 2001 isn't a silver bullet and expected it to gradually change the state's housing stock, noting pushback on the law by cities. Anderson, now here's the key. Anderson blamed the lack of new construction on high costs. He said that if Oregon wants to slow the rise in home prices, it needs to build enough housing to keep up with rising population. Until then, he said high prices would hurt the state's economy, throwing the housing market out of whack. It's like a game of musical chairs, he said, where people keep arriving faster than the chairs. But even he doesn't address why we have high costs. But I will when we come back. It is 6:20 in the morning. You're listening to Political Coffee, 503-589-1220, if you want to comment. Back in a moment. Come on and sing my song.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 22 minutes past the top of the hour, 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Shoot me an email to jeff@1220.am. You know, I use CBD products because they help me personally. You know, one of the things that it helps me, frankly, a lot is sleeping better. Now, last night, I didn't take any CBD tincture under my tongue, and I didn't sleep worth a darn. Tonight, I'm gonna, and I will be able to report to you, as I do honestly and sincerely, that tomorrow morning, I will have slept a lot better, and I'm going to tell you that. And this is really true. This works for me. Now, sleeping better is just one of the benefits that I personally have realized from using CBD products. And you know where I get my CBD products? From Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down on South Commercial right next to Safeway. They sell CannaShield. And I can tell you, as a guy who's in this business as a hemp grower for hemp oil, that in all of my research, there are not a lot of companies out there that actually give you in the product that you buy what they say they're giving you. CannaShield does. That's the brand of Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. You can absolutely be assured that Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care gives you the highest quality product there is. That's CannaShield. It only comes from Oregon. It doesn't come from other states, and it frankly doesn't come from other countries like China. I will tell you that I think it's really in your best interest, if you have aches and pains, if you want to sleep better, to talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. In fact, you can learn a lot more if you go to their website, vimsalem.com. That's vimsalem.com. Housing affordability. Why is it that the press, the people who write these stories, and Jake Thomas is actually a pretty good reporter, folks, but why is it that they don't ask the really important question that truly gets to the heart of the issue? Why is it that we have high construction costs that creates a lack of construction? Again, this isn't rocket science. Why can't a reporter who dances around the issue actually ask that question and then report on it? It's not addressed. Now, what's the effect of this? Well, as you know, I mean, we talk about politics over a cup of coffee, right? I mean, that's the whole point of this show, is to talk about the political issues of the day and how they really impact your life. And there's no reason to do that unless you're going to do something about it. Unless you're going to try to persuade somebody else to learn about these things and pay attention to them so that they'll make better decisions. Politically, especially some of these folks that are arriving from California, even though we have a lack of affordable housing and the rents have gone way high, the cost of buying a home has gone way high, although I think it's leveling off in some places in Oregon. Even though all of that, it's still cheaper to come to Oregon and buy a house and to live than it is California. Now, that's going to change with the regressive totalitarian Marxist passing stupid policies like cap and trade, which is coming up. In fact, next week is the legislative days at the Capitol, and that's when they are going to, where it's fully expected that the House is going to put in place, is going to pass out of committee a bill for cap and trade. It'll be modified. Who knows what it's going to look like? It's all going to be about trying to buy off the rural folks. So the Timber Unity's February 6th rally, where we hope to be broadcasting live, and I want to encourage you to join us, where they're going to try to buy off the folks in the rural areas so that Timber Unity doesn't scare the living daylights out of them and, frankly, spoil their fun. Because, folks, Cade and company are absolutely committed to ramming this thing down our throats. None of this helps rural Oregon. But yet rural Oregon is still a buy and a bargain for somebody moving out of California. The only problem is, how are you, as a middle-income person in California, you're not done working yet. You still have to make a living. How are you going to do that in rural Oregon? Yeah, you can buy cheap property there, but how are you going to make a living? You're not going to commute to Portland Metro every day or Eugene every day unless you live way out. You're going to drive, what, an hour? Why aren't reporters, and even good reporters, addressing the real cause of why we have a lack of affordable housing and why we have a lack of construction because of high costs. Why do we have high costs? It's stunning to me that if a reporter really is doing their job, and it's obvious that they're not, even erstwhile good reporters like Jake Thomas, doesn't get to the root cause of the problem. Now, how can we change anybody's mind with this? Well, here's how you can do it. You can use this story and this topic to ask that question and get people to thinking. Again, persuading the persuadables. Everything we talk about here doesn't mean anything unless you do something with it. That's just that simple. You are the greatest influencer you know. How many times have you heard me say that? It is true and you know it. But not unless you take a topic like this, the lack of affordable housing and a construction rate of new affordable housing, just housing period. Why is Oregon so far behind the rest of the country with higher construction rates? Why would that be? We have a booming economy. Lots of people are moving here. You know, you can start talking about this topic with someone who's persuadable and get around to why do we have the high cost of constructing homes. Probably. It's 6:30 in the morning. Back in a moment. We'll get into this high tech.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Minutes to the top of the hour. Thanks for listening. If you have just joined us, here's what we're talking about today. Walter Williams has a great piece about the incredible rise of the diversity industry in academia, mostly universities. But friends, I'm telling you, it goes a lot deeper into K-12 education. Also, why, based on the story in the Albany Democrat Herald, why is it that Oregon has the lowest housing building rates in the last 10 years, which has driven prices higher for not only rents, but for the purchase of a home? Why? Well, the reporter never really asked that question. Nobody gets to the heart of why it costs so much to build a home or any kind of a housing unit in Oregon, specifically in certain cities. Nobody wants to ask that question. Now, if you don't ask the question, you can't write an answer from anybody in a news story. So anybody who reads this is not, they're just going to say, okay, well, we're not building homes, and it costs a lot. Why does it cost so much? It's because of politics, folks, at the state level and right down to the local city level. And then I want to get into this this report, a federal report, not a state report, about how girls and young women are being sexually assaulted in the state's custody at a number of facilities at twice the rate, at least in one of them in Albany, as the national average. And they're not telling us who's doing it, Don't you think we ought to know who's doing it? And why isn't Caton Company talking about fixing it? Because they don't want you to know about it. This is a federal report. It's not a state report, folks. I want to get into that and talk about that. We've got to go to the phones. We'll start with Rich. Rich, good morning. What do you have to say, brother?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well.
Well, good. Hey, I was just up in Wilsonville, and I got some gas. It's $3.18 a gallon right now. And then if some kind of a catastrophe happens or whatever, it's going to go up some more. And then if they implement this cap and trade, you know, gas prices are going to be around $5, $6. And I just don't understand why they don't see this.
Well, I think they kind of do see it, but it's okay. In their minds, Rich, I mean, they justified this. I'm going to tell you that right now. They justified in their minds because we have to save the planet, because they really think we only have like 12 years left to save the planet.
Sure. Okay. People like Cyrus or what, Steyer is stuffing money into their pockets, I'm sure.
Well, absolutely. In fact, I got to tell you, speaking of Steyer, I got a text from a person. I was during the football games on Sunday saying that if she were a Democrat, she is not, but if she were a Democrat, she'd probably vote for Tom Steyer because of his commercials. And if you watch his commercials, Rich, it's really, he's portraying himself as a moderate, but he's anything but. And you're right. He influences with his money a lot of the politicians in this state. So let me ask you this. You think the Republicans can stop this cap-and-trade madness in February?
I think they can, but they've got to start talking to the people and letting the folks know how badly this is going to hurt their pocketbook and how it's going to really affect senior citizens and the poor. I went down to the state capitol on the last go-around, and I had a sign, and I can't remember what it said verbatim, but basically it said that this is going to hurt the poor and the senior citizens. And a lot of people that were there that were against cap and trade complimented me on the sign. And I think that's what they need to do. They need to say, hey, look at what's going to happen. They need to paint a picture of what's going to happen. And then when you include the gross receipts tax and everything else, I really fear for the future of Oregon.
And you are right to do that. But you've also hit the nail on the head in that you have said, you just clearly said, Republicans are not getting the message out the right way. And you've just talked about at the most basic level how to do that. You have to bring all of these crazy ideas down to the most basic level. And you know what it is. It's how it's going to affect each person, especially the poor and the elderly, how it's going to impact their lives. For some reason, and having served in the legislature, Rich, I can tell you sometimes you're just too close to the forest to see the actual trees. You don't get it because you're so involved in the nuances, Rich, of policy and these things.
Yeah.
That you miss the opportunity to understand it at the most basic level. You get it. Politicians don't. That's why we have rallies. And I hope Rich, are you going to be down there on February 6th?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. We're going to be there broadcasting, so I want you to make it a point to come up and say hi. In fact, you might just sit down and we'll do a quick interview with you. How about that on the air?
That'd be great.
Would love to have you do it. Rich, thanks for listening and thanks for calling in. And it's a great point. The price of gas you're paying right now is only going to get a lot higher. Folks, there's a reason why California. Now, get this. California has higher prices of gasoline. At least that's what I read, I think, a couple of weeks ago. Than Hawaii does. You know how much money it costs to take gas to Hawaii? A lot. California is higher. California has refineries. California has oil wells. Shouldn't be that high, should it? But it is. Why would that be? Politics. Let's go to Ron, who's on the line. Ron, good morning. How are you, friend?
Bro, I got you now. Can I hear you?
Yeah, I can hear you, brother.
All right. Thing is this, just like Rich says, the poor, California, 450,000 homeless. Out of that working class, 40,000 of their $40,000 to $70,000 a year people cannot rent a house because the madness from the retro Bolsheviks from the Brown administration, Cousin Brown to the south. Now it's Newsom Newsom. They price the fuel 59 cents higher than us. They will not see below a $3 gallon again. People in Oregon, it costs to deliver. You got truck drivers who are not coming through Kermit, Arizona, coming through Nevada. We're not coming through even Oregon. And they have to bring their own trucks. Oh, my God, Father. Used trucks replaced the two freight loaders and the Dodge Ram 4500 true one ton. It'll cost them $120,000 to replace them with the retro Bolshevik vehicles that burn stuff, which is proven that it also hurts the environment. Your trees, you know, kill all oxygen. And the fact is this: utility rates, they can go through and give a credit to everything else. Who pays the cost? The working taxpayer. And remember this also, they will take more money from businesses. They will disturb businesses. You're looking at an extra 28%, 28% to run a business in the agricultural industry, like a beekeeper, $700,000. I'm giving you a rough number. Am I not the father's? I'm not the highest end or low end. And the thing is this, it takes 650 electric to survive. With a 30 to 50% loss in the business average, he got to raise $8,000 to take $4,000 in next month, if he's lucky. And
yeah,
yet,
right.
Oh, we care
you're
about
right.
you. And the so-called green jobs, Oregon Wild is fakey as heck. All these other groups, Cascadians, everything else, they're all trust fund babies. And the last thing is this, just like Stiers, the Bloombergs. They're going to keep letting the crime rate go up because they're going to buy off your district attorneys. You've got to make a stand on February 6th, people. It's dump truck owners, moving companies, everybody else that takes infrastructure in Oregon. The reason the high cost is because you got a $50,000 to $70,000 sewer discharge fee because they got to make money off the top. And if they try to build low-cost housing, that little one-bedroom apartment is $240,000. How can you make it? Oh, they use it.
You
can't. Our money.
You can't.
Go ahead, brother.
There's no, especially you add in rent control. Thanks, Ron. I appreciate your thoughts. You add in rent control on top of out-of-control system development charges and all kinds of new property taxes to fund everything under the libraries and new schools and all those things. The cost of building a home gets so high, you can't even, well, it just makes it so high that soon we will become California. Go to Rebecca, who's on the line. Rebecca, good morning.
Hi. The thing is the way it is because the unions that run the Democrat Party want it to be that way. I remember when Bill Sizemore was putting in place, we ran the petitions to limit the government being able to raise property taxes and being able to raise taxes. You had to have 3/5 of a majority and other things that Bill Sizemore did through the petition process. And then the Democrats came to him and said, if you continue to do this kind of stuff, we're going to ruin you. And that's what they did to him over his entire lifetime now. They've pressed case after case against him. And sounds like I'm being cut off by the
media. Yeah, we're at the break, Rebecca. Sorry. Hang on through the break, and I'll take you on the other side. And the other Rich, call back in. Bye.
No, that's not poverty.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. Before we go back to the phones, Diamond Royalty Rides is a limousine company that's based in Salem. You know what? If you listen to some of the ads that we're playing for them, it really is true. I've ridden in a limousine two or three times. One of them was when I got married, long time ago, but still, it was a really special day, and it made us feel special. You know, sometimes that's worth it, isn't it? Like if you have a special occasion, say, for instance, a significant birthday in somebody's life, or someone has achieved something, like maybe graduation from college, or maybe high school, maybe Valentine's Day, which is coming up. How about a wedding anniversary? My point is this. Diamond Royalty Rides can provide you with just that, feeling royal. Pretty cool to drive around in a limousine. It's a very special thing. You don't do it every day. But when you ride with Diamond Royalty Rides, it's a really great experience. So why don't you check them out, diamondroyaltyrides.com. It's all one word, diamondroyaltyrides.com. You can reserve a car and a driver and a great experience that makes you feel great, feel special, especially if you are doing that for someone else to make them feel special. DiamondRoyaltyRides.com. All right, let's go back to Rebecca, and then we'll go to Tim. Rebecca, good morning once again. All right, so you were making the point about Bill Sizemore in limiting property taxes through the initiative system. That helped keep Oregon affordable for a long time. But now things are out of control, and the Democrats have found ways to make it harder through their policies, through both state law and the policies of the Secretary of State's office, for the people to replicate what Bill Sizemore did. So how do we fix that?
Well, they also made it so that Bill Sizemore's, he got the petitions to be in the Constitution. And so the Democrats had a really hard time getting around it. But now they figured a way to get around it by having the counties do what the state was forbidden to do. And so they're putting pressure on counties and cities. And I just read, I think it was from Oregon Taxpayers Association, that I read that the state is putting pressure on cities to demonstrate that they have 5% less traffic, and 10% less, so it has to do with the flow of traffic. So not only are they limiting the number of people that can afford to buy or to create housing, but they're also limiting the flow of traffic. And this is all
so Rebecca, let me ask you this question.
Stuff.
Do you think if they're trying to put in place state policy de facto by putting rules in place for counties, should counties start rebelling?
That I don't know if counties can rebel. I don't know the system that well. You know it way better than I know it. I do know that sheriffs in Virginia are rebelling.
I think especially some of these rural counties need to stand up and start fighting in ways that they haven't done, at least in my time in the legislature. Rebecca, I got to let you go because I need to move on to Tim. Tim, good morning. What do you have to say about the topics today?
Well, I'm going to read this real quick because you have a limited time. Gross receipts tax doesn't take into account risk, loans, leases, profit or loss, competition like the internet. Oregon collects 50% more taxes per capita than the average for the U.S. We have fees represent 12% of our revenue, other states 1%. FedEx is an example for gross receipts tax. For them to get a box to give to you, it takes 4 steps to bring the box to the store. Now, this is what would be interesting. I think you could have a great debate that would convince people to have a sales tax because you would control the amount by amendment so that either Republicans or Democrats could control it. The voters would. And you could, just like the lottery, you could designate it to go to education, economic development, parks, and the legislature can't touch it.
So, Tim, are you suggesting that we change Oregon's constitution to allow another sales tax, or one that replaces the business sales tax that was just passed?
Replaces.
Okay. Well, no, fair enough, because right now the way it is, the legislature can raise that business activity tax willy-nilly, can't they?
Do you know what's interesting? If you wanted to start a business, would you do it? Would you take the risk where you would put your personal assets at risk, take out a loan? Would a bank lend you money? Are you going to be able to compete against the internet? And would you sign a lease long-term that would make a commitment?
Well, knowing the unpredictability of the folks running the Oregon legislature and many of the big cities in this state, the answer to that is no, because it's risk. And at some point, if you're putting your own hard-earned savings on the line, you can't do it. Tim, I got to let you go because Rich, the other Rich, is back. Rich, what do you have to say this morning?
Mine's quick. All I got to do is look up Steyer and find out just how much money he gives to the liberals every year. And you'll know that he's not a moderate. Next, they're not going to get rid of any of the taxes they put in, so why add another sales tax? You'll end up just like California. So unless you can come up with a better plan and stop feeding the dragon called the liberals are never satisfied, it's not going to change. You're going to have to start pushing to say enough's enough, because they're going to keep pushing it in. And no offense to Tim, but anybody who thinks you're going to talk someone into it, sales tax, and then have them say they're going to repeal any of this stuff, you're just dreaming. It's not going to happen.
But it should happen.
It won't, though. You know that as well as I do. Look at California. You got property tax, sales tax, the works, income tax. You got tax on everything except, I think, milk now. Also, the gas, average gas prices in California right now are between $4.40 and $5 a gallon, and that's as of 3 days ago.
That's amazing. I pay $5.29 a gallon for aviation fuel for the airplane. And you're telling me that they're paying that for cars in California?
Yep.
Wow. So the point is this, and thanks, Rich. I appreciate you calling. The point is this, folks. If you want to make it even more unaffordable to have a house in Oregon, keep on the path we're on. Now, this is why you're so important. Everything we talk about here today is an opportunity for you to influence somebody else by getting them to, you engage them in conversation, face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, not just over social media, folks. In fact, getting them to put down the social media for a little while is a great way, but you can still make your points. The point is this. Reporting, the reporters are never going to lay it out the way you can, because you understand it. You get it. You know who's driving the high cost of increased living at every level in Oregon. And it's the politicians. That gets people to thinking about who they vote for, doesn't it? Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate each and every one of you both listening and participating. Sorry I didn't get to all the stories in the emails. Maybe tomorrow. See you then. Yeah.